Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 164.
164, we're back for more.
Yes.
We're back, baby.
We're back, and 164 are very satisfying.
164 is a satisfying number. They're like three family members, 1, 6, and 4. One is the patriarch. Six is the matriarch, and four is a fun cousin.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Have you noticed my accent's different, Pierre?
I did notice that when you came in, you had that cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
But there was a cowboy hat, but it had corks on.
That's right, because I've been to Australia and America, and they only sell that hat on the flight between
the
two countries.
Yes, yeah. And as the air hostess people start coming and bringing out those hats to buy, they're like posing really sexually with it, like
yeah.
Da, 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 yeah. And everyone's clapping, and like everyone in the chairs, they're nudging each other, like this is what we're here for. Well, you wouldn't get this on any other flight, you know. People, you can hear
some people take
that.
The flight just to get the hat.
Yes, yeah.
They just fly straight back.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm back from my. Seemingly endless travels through the Commonwealth.
How many weeks
through
away?
The New World.
Five?
More than that. Six or seven. Is right. I've been away for so long now.
Yeah, man.
Britain is literally a different place. It's hot now. I've come back and Britain's hot.
Yeah, you've had...
So much has changed. What have you done?
We found the heating. We turned it on.
No.
Have you sort of just had good weather then this whole time?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, Melbourne is my perfect weather, which is like quite cool at all times.
Yeah,
but never freezing. At least it was when I was there. And then I went to America, and the last place I was in America was California, which is hot every day, sunny every day. It's kind of eerie. It's weird as a British person going to a place where it's just. It doesn't feel physically possible. Like
where the weather is just the same every day.
Every day, and there's no rain.
Is that why they the film industry moved there? Because they were just like, it never rains, there's no cloud, it's the same weather, we can just film it.
Oh, forever. That might be a reason. One reason I heard was, and it was a story told to me by excellent comedian and friend John Hastings.
Ooh, yes. Shout out to Hastings.
Canadian sensation, John Hastings. And he said that when the first movie makers wanted to start movie making, they just wanted to get as far away from Thomas Edison as physically possible.
Wow.
Because he had the licenses on the cameras which he invented. And they were like, we don't want to pay for this. So they just physically got away from him.
Oh, wow.
Apparently Edison Edison wanted to create a sort of Hollywood in New Jersey.
New Jersey?
On the East Coast. But then all these movie makers like, we ain't paying, you've nothing, and they just took the cameras and they kept going west until the sea wouldn't let them go any further, and they built this movie town in the desert that became the City of Angels.
Crazy cowboys.
Yeah.
Venturing west. My word. I heard they set it up there because all the cameras are just already there. Terrifying. Over 100 years before anyone knew what they were.
They just found them like Stonehenge.
Yeah, or like those big black monoliths in 2001.
I was thinking
that's the sound coming from them.
And Orson Welles dancing around and going, oh!
Yeah, it's all the actors from the golden age of Hollywood just leaping and like throwing
Marilyn Monroe jumping around.
Throwing director's chairs at each other and stuff. Humphrey Bogart, he's like beating his chest.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I saw LA for the first time in my life in Hollywood.
LA as filthy and crowded as they say?
Well, Hollywood itself is a fucking dump. It's gross. This is interesting. The Hollywood Walk of Fame smells like piss the entire way.
Really?
Every single one. Katharine Hepburn's star smells like urine. All of them smell like urine.
Wow.
It smells disgusting.
Tinseltown.
The big famous Chinese cinema. Out where
Man's Chinese Theatre?
Yeah, that's it. And outside they've got all these handprints and footprints.
Yeah.
It's not arranged in any pleasing fashion. It just looks like a construction site gone wrong because it's literally just people like drawing in wet cement and all these blocks are all misshaped and mismatched and they're just kind of scattered about and it's all gross.
I always thought it was like a much more formalized thing.
No, I thought it was as well. I thought there'd be like a whole area and they planned out and there's a map and like
maybe a walkway
of yeah and like a grading of acts like directors on this corner and
yeah
actors and or like some chronological order. Nope, just all over the place,
just mad chaos.
Yep.
Come on, LA.
It's kind of a very American of like, well, I mean, Los Angeles is an especially hodgepodge city because
yeah.
It was just improvised. There's no planning. It doesn't make sense as a city.
Yeah.
It's just lots of little towns just kind of
fighting
placed next to each other. And you got to go on the freeway to go down to the next bit of town. And it's bizarre.
It's
and all the buildings are so short. All the buildings are like two stories high.
At most, yeah.
And so the city just has to go laterally.
Yeah, well, so when you see those pictures of LA from like the only hill nearby or whatever, and it's this like harrowing, it looks like something from Blade Runner.
Right,
but
yeah.
If Blade Runner had nothing, none of the cool like center bit where it's like electro skyscrapers full of neon, it's just like this endless like shacks.
Yeah, it's like a very short Shanghai. Like this skyline goes on forever, but it's all knee height. I did walk up to the Griffiths Observatory, that's uphill, that's... There's a version of in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Knee height, of course, is a part of Shanghai.
I went on a hike, as the Americans call them.
Can you explain that? Because every TV show, especially set in LA,
So in America,
people are hiking left and right.
A hike is a walk that lasts longer than 6 minutes.
Really?
That's what it feels like. There's like we're going hiking, and all that's happened is you've walked up what could be technically described as an incline.
Yeah.
And you've changed. That's the main thing. You've put on
like felt boots clothes
and walking boots.
Like this camel sort of brown.
Mm-hmm. It's more about the outfit than the duration of the walk.
Yeah. And you eat trail mix? Which is just M&Ms and bits of bark or something?
I eat Bombay mix on my wife. I'm the only person I know who eats Bombay mix.
You have a Ziploc bag of a Ziploc liter bag of Bombay mix and a camelback filled with lager. And it's a pub hike is what you do. That's what it seems like, is that it's like I've been to America a couple of times and no one walks anywhere, so maybe that's why they see it as a hike, because it's just like 500 meters just up one of the only hills near LA.
Yep, it's true. I mean, I think probably New Yorkers walk are like high on the walking scale as far as America is concerned. But in LA, people do not walk at all. You get an Uber everywhere. There's no public transport either, really, that you can use and not get murdered on. So you have to get an Uber everywhere.
Are the Ubers just like other people in the arts?
Well, what's funny about Ubers in America is you know here in London you get an Uber and you know who's going to turn up and you know the car.
Yeah,
it's a first generation immigrant from the global south.
Yes,
in a Prius every single time.
Every single time. Yeah.
Every single time. Someone from the global south.
Yeah,
Prius. You know what you're getting.
If it's a quiet time.
Yeah,
you might accidentally get one of the Uber execs.
Yeah,
stepping down the chain.
But in America, it can be anything. I did it as a joke on my last show, and I kind of wish I'd done it longer. But it's all up for grabs. Any type of person, any vehicle, you never know.
Really?
So, yeah, it could be a mother of three in a Jeep, a little boy in a pickup truck.
Tricycle. Clown on a tricycle.
A witch in one of those pumpy things that they have on the railways with the hands. It's anyone.
What?
a tiny Hispanic lady in a Hummer. It could be anything.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking mad.
It's very strange. Because I think out there it really did start out as this ride-sharing thing. It's someone who just happens to have a car and has some free time. They'll just jump on.
They can make 30 quid.
Yeah, something like that.
So in LA, Uber looks like what would happen if people actually embraced its corporate message.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Well, or actually embraced the fake title of ride sharing, which is what Uber started out calling itself. Yeah, a ride sharing app. It's
in like, the same what, way that you
sharing.
Yeah, I'm sharing this ride with a cab driver. We're going to my house. Hope he likes that.
Yeah, this restaurant is sharing its dinner with you for a price. It's like, what are you talking about? Ride sharing?
Me and this guy Ronald McDonald share food with each other. In that, I go to his place of business and I give him money, and in exchange, I receive the food, and he doesn't eat.
But it does feel a bit more like that there, because it's just
because it's so free for all. That's mad.
Mm.
If I ordered an Uber and it said Mildred's on her way. Right, and it was just like a lady,
mm-hmm.
if it, like a white English lady in her sort of 40s in a sort of pantsuit.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get in. Genuinely, I'd be like, "What is this?
Trap. Yeah,
this is maybe this is a trap, or it's like a hidden camera thing, or like, are you doing an experiment?
Yeah,
is this research for something?
The one guy we got an Uber with in Irvine, California.
Irvine.
He was in an electric car, and he's very proud of this electric car. And he's chatting with us the whole trip about the price of electric cars and how this one is a bit different from the Tesla and blah, 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 blah. And then he started, oh, this is funny. I asked, because I wanted to know if it came with any sort of subsidies. Because here, if you have an electric car, hybrid car, it's free road tax.
Yeah.
And... I had free parking in London for ages.
Yeah.
A hybrid car. And I said, do you get any tax break? And then I said, wait, do you have road tax here? And he goes like, no, we don't have road tax. No, we'd never accept it. It's too much. We already pay. And he said this with a straight face, Pierre. He said, we already pay 11.9% income tax. And I was like,
Is that federal or state?
We just said tax.
Yeah.
It must have been state.
Yeah,
11.9%, and we're not paying anymore. And me and our friend Julian, who was in the car, we just kind of looked at each other, like, and like giving this others knowing look. And I wanted to laugh.
Yeah,
out loud at him. Not wanting to pay 11.9% tax. So I didn't even tell him what we pay in tax here, and we pay road tax on top. Anyway, then we got to the place, and I looked over, and he had a taser gun.
Yeah, a taser?
He had a taser gun, like in a holster. And I thought, this guy likes electricity. A lot. This guy's like Electro from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He's the boss of the electric Pokemon gym. He's the gym leader of the electric one.
Yeah.
You have the Pikachu hat on.
Yeah, it's how he trains Pikachu. How he tortures Pikachu. He gets him to do what he wants.
Ash Ketchum is on his way. On the Uber app.
Would you like to tip Ash Ketchum?
Yeah. He's too old to be
so
a Pokemon
he was like,
adventurer now.
It seemed to be that area of the country where people are into sustainability but are also anti-tax and pro-weapons.
Yeah, it's a heady brew.
Mm.
A lot of that bit of California. Well, it's the sort of like
it's kind of red California.
Red California, yeah. Where they go, you can. I'm gonna buy an AR-15 to guard my
solar panels.
To my solar panels.
Get those kids off my solar panels. That day is renewable. That is renewable.
You can pry my tidal energy generator out of my cold, dead hands. Greenbillies.
Just here, just sitting on the front porch, looking out of my wind farm. Just chewing on... It's in, chewing on, but instead of like a piece of straw, it's like a tiny wind turbine, like a little model wind turbine. Yeah,
spinning and is powering a vape that he's vaping. And when they, when he, if he, if he says, "Where's, oh, where are you all headed?" and you go, "Oh, we're just going up to Joshua Tree." Woo-wee, it's good wind up there. Mighty fine wind to be taken up there. He's got like all these opinions on the, like the quality of soil, quality of wind, and sunlight and stuff. Yeah, it's a very strange mixture, but maybe that works with a certain flavor of libertarianism, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it is odd where you sort of want to say to people, "Hey, you know how there's like, was it like armies of tramps, right?"
Oh yeah,
just everywhere.
I've never seen homelessness like it, and it's throughout America.
It's just but pictures of it look like World War Z.
Yeah, yeah, it's just tense. I've never been in a country, and certainly not a developed Western country, with as like if you drive past a bridge or an overpass, there will be tents under it.
Yeah,
and tens of people who've been living there for long term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or just on the pavement, just outside, and people pay them no heed. They just walk by.
Well, I guess no one walks anywhere.
And that's, yeah, there's that as well.
Maybe that's why the hikes are so short, because the tents have all been bought. Can't go camping. People will assume you're a tramp.
Yeah, there's a tent shortage in Los Angeles for sure, but. Yeah, it's appalling. I've never seen homelessness or mental illness like it. I've never seen as many mentally ill people just out on the street screaming at the top of their voice, just screaming. Jesus Christ. And people just walk on the other side of the road. I've never experienced so many people just talking out loud to themselves.
Really?
Yes. You go out for a walk, and you walk past at least three people who are just talking to themselves, mumbling to themselves.
I always thought that, because like that is a sort of stock occurrence in like Futurama or The Simpsons or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never realized it was like daily observational for the American audience watching that comedy.
You know, if you play Grand Theft Auto and you walk around, and there are all these NPCs just going, "Oh, well, then I'll show him. Hey, watch it." And you go, "This is heightened for a video game." Nope, it isn't. It really is not. That
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
"Well, I'll see him like characters in a cartoon."
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck, because, America?
Yeah, because there are no resources put aside to look after these people. No one's interested in helping them, so they just live on the street.
What do you think is the American equivalent for people who come here? Is it when they actually see someone in tweed cycling?
Yeah,
they're just like, "Wow, that actually happens," and it's like, "Yeah, sometimes you can see that."
A friend of mine just come over from America to. She's got a job in London. She's got a gig in London. She's staying. It's her first time ever to London, and she was first put up in the Langham Hotel next to the BBC,
Whoa.
And then now she's in a flat in Knightsbridge.
Whoa!
And I was like, "You're getting the London experience Americans think London is. Like, you've basically gone to Londonland, Florida."
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's like if you got to stay in an Airbnb in the Statue of Liberty's fucking head.
That's something I really enjoyed, by the way, in the bonus pods you were narrating.
Oh, yes.
For us last couple of weeks. All the places I've been trapped.
And yes.
It's so weird that you were right every single time. I don't know how you, yeah. How you knew.
Well, I've got Find My iPhone, but for your phone. So I just like to keep an eye on you.
Where was I? I was trapped in the Crown in the Statue of Liberty.
You
for
were trapped
bit.
In the Crown, and you set a fire in the lamp bit to get people's attention, but everyone just liked it.
Yeah, everyone just took photos and
just
thought it was part of the act.
Thought it was cool. Where were you trapped? When you were in the Midwest, you were trapped in snow or something? Or like snow had trapped you in some way?
Right.
Not
right,
sure.
Right. Or like in a sort of Fargo-esque situation.
Yeah, you were trapped in a kind of a... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I kept thinking you were going to say I was in a wood chipper, like in Fargo. I'd be trapped down a wood chipper.
What was the Midwest like?
Interesting. I mean... after New York, it's nice to be in sort of wide open spaces, and it's a bit more quiet and fewer crazy people walking around. But it was also less happening.
Yeah.
It was less happening. I went to the Mall of America when I was in Minneapolis, which is the largest mall in America.
And that's a big contest to win.
Yeah.
Is the music like, ba-da-boo, ba-do,
There was no music. It was quite underwhelming, really. It was such a big building that you don't realize you're there until you've turned up, because it's just so... You know what I mean? Because, like, you're just driving past concrete for a bit, and then it's like, here you are. It's like, oh, the last 15 minutes of concrete I've been driving past have been the building.
Was the wall.
Was the wall, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And so it's like the Pentagon or the Death Star. Like, you don't... You have to be quite far away to see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, oh, I see.
When you turn up, it's just a wall and a door, and you go, oh, I've been looking at it the whole time. It was the background.
And, I didn't realize I was going shopping in the horizon.
Yeah. And you go in, and it is just, well, it's like it says on the tin. It's just a mall it goes up on for longer than you're used to. There's a theme park inside of it. There are roller coasters in it. That's how big it is.
So this is the one place where people do walk a long way.
Yeah. It's I mean, in America, they actually have more walking, don't they?
Yeah,
On TV, they have all these, like, pensioners walking around the mall.
Old ladies with their elbows all up.
Yeah, we're going on a mall walk.
The one place that you can walk.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
to
a British or European person, you go to the Mall of America and it's just like... At one point, I realized, oh, this is just a small town they've put a roof over.
Oh, fuck.
That's basically it. It's a town they've put a roof over.
A roofed town. They've roofed a town.
Come see the amazing roofed town.
A town where everywhere has a roof, even the outside.
Welcome to the 1967 World's Fair, home of the roofed town. In the future, everyone will live in a town that has a roof.
Scientists say that one day we'll be able to roof the globe. The Pope has to come out and say that it's an offence unto God to roof the earth from God's eyes and things.
We mustn't roof it. Footage of him on that balcony waving around, and then like the voiceover interpretation. We mustn't roof the world. Just like really in a neutral tone.
He's gesturing quite a bit, yeah. We mustn't roof the world. The sky is a window into God and his existence. Roofing the world would be a bad idea. You can tell when they're not quite capturing the translation either. They're definitely missing stuff here.
You're definitely simplifying. There's a word in Italian that doesn't exist in English that he's had to come to a compromise with.
Yeah, it's got seven syllables and he's just had to replace it with like bad. You think, it's a shame because it's the Pope. He's definitely saying something a bit complicated.
Wait, is he Uruguayan, the current Pope? Where's he from?
Argentinian.
He's Argentinian.
Yes.
I knew it was one of them.
That's why he's always eating those big steaks.
Yeah.
When the smoke coming out of the Vatican goes red, it means stop bringing the Pope meat.
Is that too niche a reference?
I don't know, maybe. It's those Brazilian restaurants, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Brazilian restaurants where you have like a piece of card.
You have a meat flag.
A meat flag that's red on one side, green on the other. And if you want more meat, you put it on green and they just, without asking.
Without asking, they just bring you meat.
Shave meat off a sword onto your plate.
Ugh. So many of my favorite things in one sentence.
Yeah.
Shave, swords, meat.
Protein and weaponry.
Protein and weaponry. That's not a bad name for a... For a restaurant or maybe a shop. The kind of shop that guy with a taser would go to. Do you know, Joe Rogan would do an advert for protein and weaponry.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Fucking hell. Those are his two ad revenue streams, protein and weaponry.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by Protein Weaponry. Go to proteinweaponry.com/budpod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get 10% off your first order of protein bars or 5% off your first longbow. I guess you can use weaponry to get protein through hunting.
That's true.
They're very linked.
That's
crazy.
They're strange bedfellows, protein and weaponry. What else? I mean, I was away for such a long time.
You were gone for a long time, and it's I'm sure the pod buds are glad to.
Oh, and also,
have
of course, thank you to everyone who came to the shows, both in Melbourne and across America. A lot of pod buds in America.
Yes.
Got a couple of Kojis.
Howdy.
Shouted at me.
We're glad you tolerate us being sort of anthropologically baffled and critical of where you live.
Do keep the Koji shouting to a minimum. I appreciate it, but like if there's a show going on, I don't really have time to say thank you to you and then explain to everyone else
what that stands for. It's only a problem in America, though.
Yeah, there's been a couple of Koji shout-outs here. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end, if one of us has finished a show, we go, thank you for coming. Maybe during the applause or booing, throw out a Koji then. But Yeah, but I would ask that your much appreciated support for the show doesn't hinder the rhythms of stand up, about no. which I am very particular. I'm like one of our real jazz musicians who we name from time to time here, in that it's also about the jokes you don't tell.
Yeah.
It's all about the pauses as well.
It's I haven't had any Koji shouting.
Really?
I've had it when I've
maybe
said,
I have one of those faces.
Yeah, you have a very shoutable at face.
Yeah.
But I've had it where if I've said, oh, I do a podcast or whatever, if I've mentioned it, then I'll get it.
Right, okay.
Maybe like once ever, but mostly it's just people either messaging me afterwards or coming up to me afterwards going, I was going to shout Koji, but I didn't know when.
Yeah, a lot of people say that as well, yeah, which is very sweet.
Which is also appreciated.
But yes. a lot of pod buds who came out, so I really appreciate that. One fan came to the San Francisco show and had on her knuckles Koji sort of fake tattooed onto her knuckles.
No!
Yeah, which is
that's
nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you to any of the pod buds who've been coming to see shows. And thank you in particular, we're going to post this on Twitter and Instagram, but thank you in particular to Jenny, who I saw at the Bristol Comedy Festival, who mocked up for us an actual bottle of Lucky Kentucky.
That's incredible.
And it looks awesome. We're going to post pictures of it, etc. But it's so great.
It's beautiful. It really looks like it's on a proper like Tennessee whiskey bottle. Well, yeah, it's like on a bourbon looking bottle.
Yeah.
And it's got a label on it that says Lucky Kentucky. And
there's like little descriptions and blurbs and like there's a little secret joke. We'll post pictures of every like flank of it.
Who was it that sent it?
Jenny, I never know how much to say of someone's Instagram. Her Instagram is public.
Well, Jenny will do.
Well, she's a freelance designer / maker. Props, puppets, painting, sewing, sets.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
So maybe it would be good to say? Good for business? We'll tag her.
If it's a public Instagram account.
Yeah, Jenny Simmons.
So thanks, Jenny. It's beautiful. I've always wanted some Lucky Kentucky merch.
Well, the listeners can get it.
Oh yes, of course.
But then on the Patreon.
But an actual bottle of Lucky Kentucky.
It's so cool. I mean, yes, and thank you to any of the other. There were other pod buds who came to see me at the Bristol Comedy Festival, and thank you for that. That was much much appreciated. Very high stage. It's in a music venue.
Oh, okay, so okay.
So I was very high up.
Yeah. And you're tall already, so your head was very, very far from everyone.
I think I was mostly in shadow. I think it was a bit like when the bad guy from Inspector Gadget, you know, would try and do stand-up.
Or when someone has to meet someone in a warehouse or the docks, and they don't and the show wants to hold back their identity for a bit longer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was very much like that. All you could see was the glow of a cigarette. Yeah, but it was a nice gig. Bristol Comedy Festival, very fun. If you haven't, if you didn't go see it, go check it out next year when presumably it will be on. Yes, we're very
on the subject of comedy festivals. By the way,
yeah,
we're both at the Edinburgh Festival.
Yes,
coming up this August, the first sort of full festival since the old Pan.
Since the war.
Since the old Pan's Labyrinth.
Since the old...
Yeah.
Coronavirus pandemic.
Plague. And I'm there for a week, I think 15th to the 21st of August.
Ooh.
Please come on down to the show.
Very nice.
The new show, so it's not Philly Philly Wang Wang, it's the show, it's the next one, it's a new one.
Brand new. What venue?
I am at Assembly at George Square.
Ooh.
One of them theatres there.
Excentrique.
Yeah. Pushing the boat out.
Oh, very nice. I'll be at the Monkey Barrel for almost the whole month. A couple of breaks to go to a couple of weddings.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the month.
That's the tricky thing about August, for people with friends, is that they have weddings to go to.
Yeah, you can't live in a different town for a month and ignore every other part of your life as easily. But yes, I'll be at Monkey Barrel for the whole month. So if you just go to the Monkey Barrel website or the Fringe website or whatever, I've posted the link. And I'm there 6:10 p.m. Monkey Barrel 1.
That's a very Edinburgh Fringe time.
6:10.
I think I'm at 9:30, which is
Ooh.
Getting into the late.
That's
late
getting. 9:30 is fringe 10:30. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like people who want to be there in advance to be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So please get tickets. Because I don't want people. I don't like drunk. I don't want lads turning up on a Saturday night having decided on a whim to come.
Yeah, that's they are not always, but often not great audience members.
Yeah, not always. But I want pod buds. I want nerdy people.
Yep.
I want people who like comedy and understand the social conventions of
public behavior.
Public behavior and going to see a performance, a live performance. They're my heroes.
They're the dream, the dreamboats.
From time to time, you have a group of lads, and it's the nicest thing. There's a group of lads, and you look through the curtain before the show starts, and they're all like, and you're like, oh, fuck, can we get them out? Even though they've not actually technically done anything
yet. Yeah, they haven't done anything yet, and I want you to evict them from this room.
And then you get on stage, and they're the best.
Yeah.
And they're really nice.
They're getting everything.
They get everything, they're paying attention, and you're like, how is your life? How are you able to do both of these things?
Sometimes
usually a comedian's instincts are right. Usually you get... I've got to a point now where I can look at and go, they're going to be difficult,
yeah.
And I am correct 86% of the time.
Definitely, yeah. You get to the point where... And it's something that when you try and tell that to people who don't do this, they don't believe you. Because they go, well, why would that work? And you just go, look, you just... doing this hundreds and hundreds of times, and because you're, like, it's not just an experience you're doing hundreds of times, like, you know, frying an egg. It's so full of adrenaline and fear that it imprints in your mind much more profoundly.
Right, of course. Yes.
It's much more memorable.
These are all important survival memories.
Yeah. And you feel sometimes like one of those detectives where it's like any face that didn't laugh, like, I see them when I close my eyes. They're part of me now. So they're really in there. And also, you just go out and you go, won't laugh, mm-hmm. won't laugh. She's going to heckle.
Yeah. Also, being a stand-up, I believe more than I would have were I not a stand-up. I believe more in sort of like, you know, Myers-Briggs personality tests. Like I'm completely convinced there are a set number of personality types in the world.
Yeah.
And because we are able to identify, but we can identify personality types from watching someone in an audience for a couple of minutes. We kind of know straight away how they're going to behave for the rest of the night.
Especially, watching them in relation to anyone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, yeah, but like you said, definitely broad brushstrokes, there's like 12 audience members.
What do you mean?
Types.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yes,
you know, like in sort of early video games, so it would just be like just 12 types of NPC. Yeah.
Oh, right, right. Or like pick character. You know when you're in like Battlefield, you can be a medic or... What are those categories called?
So it's like medic, assault.
Yeah.
Medic, assault, sniper, support.
Support, engineer.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, yeah. Who do you want to play as?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can play as heavy mage. I would say I was going to say liability. That's a good character class for audience members. Liability.
Yeah.
I would say liability solo is almost always a lady.
Liability solo, as in like
I think when men are liabilities, they are five of them.
The liability as a group. Yeah.
Whereas generally, if a lady is a liability, she's just happens to have had the most white wine
of the night
of her group.
Yeah.
And you can always tell her as well.
Mm-hmm. She also is usually a whooper.
She's a whooper.
Even in England.
She'll whoop up.
Yeah.
She's a whooper.
Yeah.
She can be a very good laugher, but she will turn on a sixpence.
Yeah, and her good laughing is such that it actually puts everyone off because it's so manic and too loud.
It's functionally a heckle.
Yes, yeah.
And it's harder to deal with than an actual heckle because you can't say at a comedy gig as a comedian, stop laughing.
Or laugh differently.
Laugh, enjoy me differently. Enjoy different. That must be a slogan.
Yeah.
Jabbing your finger in someone's face. Enjoy different.
That's a slogan for my new comedy startup. Enjoy different.
Shall we do some Corey spondons?
Oh, yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ring, ring,
letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
I got sent a lovely bit of correspondence from where are you? It's on my Instagram. Jack,
it's good to be back. Sorry, I'm talking about myself, Jack. Yeah.
But it's good to be back in the sense that because you're back, you can hear from Jack.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's pick up the slack.
So, interesting greeting. Dear Pianovelli and Sillet Bang.
Wait, what's your one?
It's Pianovelli.
It's just Pianovelli. Okay,
this is my full name.
Okay, there isn't a washing... Is there no washing product that could work with Pierre?
There's got to be.
It's got to be... No... Pierre non bio. Doesn't really work.
Pierre washing up liquid. There we go. Comedy is an art form.
Dear Pierreal.
Pierreal.
Pierreal Novelli.
Pierreal.
Pierre liquid.
Oh man.
Yeah.
God.
There's stuff in there.
We're running rings around you, Jack. Dear Pianovelli and Sillet Bang, Pistorian here. After binging through the first 126 episodes, I feel I must tell you something.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Oh, no. What have we done?
My ex could not poop properly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some girls have that no pooping problem. What's it called? Is constipation more common in ladies than men? It feels like it is. Is it because of the societal pressure on women not to poop?
I definitely know that, like, more women than men have a massive issue with, like, going for a shit, just in public, or in a public
just
loo, or at work,
or
in the street, or in front of a paying audience. For some reason, they have it's definitely a heavily stigmatized thing.
Yeah.
We've got an email that I want to get to, where the subject line is, Bud Pod is a feminist text.
Oh, great.
And it's about the positive effect that we've had.
On modern feminism.
In a scatological sense.
Oh, great.
We're opening poopy doorways.
Yes.
We're holding bumholes open.
What wave of feminism are we on now?
It's at least fourth.
It's fourth, isn't it? So I think Bud Pod feminism will be the fifth wave.
Fifth wave.
Yeah.
Poo feminism. What about daily tasks? Yeah. Open up necessities. Mm-hmm. Daily necessities, things that you must do because you're human. So, yeah, I think women seem to have a thing with stigmatizing of it more. And I don't know, either men just have very low standards of what they expect to come out of their ass, or women have a lot more IBS than men. Because so many women have IBS.
So you think the reason a lot of women can't poop is because they have too high standards of what comes out of their ass? No, that's not good enough.
He's arrogant. No,
he's arrogant.
I mean, like,
these shits aren't good enough. They're going back inside until something of quality decides to poke its head out.
Something of merit. No, I think because like a lot of either the same amount of men. Either the
just
same
doing that sort of sassy finger waving thing out of her own poop, going, you think you're good enough to come out of me? Back in you go.
Trying to make your like, trying to make your poo balance a book on its head and stuff.
This poo's not been to finishing school.
No, I mean, like, either, right, either, as many men as women have IBS, and we just don't hear about it.
Uh-huh.
So, but I was thinking, like, oh, maybe we don't hear about it because men are just like, half the shits I do are, like, angry liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Ha 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 ha. Like, they don't see, like, men don't go to the doctor, do they?
No.
So they don't care about their shits.
Right. So you think there might be all these constipated men out there who are just not talking about it?
Or IBS, I mean.
Right. Men, we need to talk.
Men, we need to talk about more about our anuses.
We need to talk more.
If anything.
We've been talking about our brains a lot recently, so now let's go to the other end.
Yeah. Don't ignore your anus. So either everyone has the same percentage of IBS and it's just a societal phenomenon happening here, or there's something unlucky if you're a lady.
Mm.
Add it to the pile, yeah. I guess, of unlucky things.
Yeah, join the queue.
Yeah, IBS.
Or IBS, yeah.
I hope the queue's not too long.
Well, that's probably why he's not getting out.
No, IBS is getting out.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, IBS is getting out.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so...
Yeah.
Jack's ex was one of these afflicted ladies.
Oh, okay.
As he says, my ex could not poop properly.
Yeah.
Although not for any of the reasons we've just outlined.
Oh.
This is an exceptional...
And that was a thorough list.
You'd think.
Yeah, that was exhaustive.
Almost exhaustive, but there's something we missed.
Yeah.
Right? No, not in a colostomy bag or rectal bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. But she would poop into her hand.
No.
Capital letters. Every time.
No. No. What? Every time. I think we've heard every possible version of it, of a poo story. I'm blown away by the variety of life.
There are more things in bumholes and toilets, Phil, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Yes? It's an infinite range of human experience out there.
It really is. It really is.
That's why, this, even though this is quite recent correspondence, when I saw it, I thought, this is good to come back to.
Right, okay.
Yeah. She would poop into her hand every time.
I find this hard to believe.
I've heard of this as a thing. Upon arriving to the turd bucket...
The toilet?
I think he means toilet.
Okay, because at this point, I'm ready to believe she has
Actually, that's true. That's true. Given some of the stories we get, it's hard to spot metaphors.
I mean, we already have a poo knife, and we just go, yep. We now treat the phrase poo knife with the casual energy of someone saying, putting flowers in a vase. Yeah, of course you have a poo knife. Yeah, put flowers in a vase, you have a knife for your poo.
When someone says poo knife, we treat it like they've said USB charger. Yeah. I've heard of that. Yeah, I know those are around the house. Upon arriving to the turd bucket, toilet, we presume, she would, like you and I, straddle the porcelain in the regular seating position.
Okay.
All normal so far.
Yep. Or side saddle, because she's a lady.
Or side saddle, yes, if she ran to finishing school.
I use a toilet side saddle.
She straddles the porcelain in a regular seating position. Next, she would mummify her hand. With Bob Ross.
Well, this is insane.
I love the phrase mummify your hand. Do you think she rubbed her hand with sacred oils and pulled her hand's brain out of its nose with a big hook? Wrapping it around, chanting. So her hand is a big cartoon mummy, right? She's mummified her hand with bog roll before placing it underneath the back passage.
Okay. Yep.
A poop would fall onto her hand. That's how it's phrased.
A poop would fall.
I'm not saying she's shitting. Let's just say a poop would fall onto her hand. Who knows where it came from?
All I'm saying is that a poop appeared and it ends up in her hand.
It fell on a mummified hand. Okay, so she came to her hand like an ape, is what he's saying.
Right, yeah.
Like a chimp.
A chimp with a mummified hand.
She would proceed to wrap it up.
So she'd mummify the poop.
Yeah, but then...
And put it in like a jar next to her hand like an offering for the afterlife.
I'll have this shit in the next life. This poo will serve me beyond the black plains of whatever.
Who was the god of death?
Anubis, wasn't it?
Anubis, well done, yeah.
Well, obviously, if you want to make it to the heaven bit, they weigh your turd on a big scale. And it needs to be lighter than a feather. Only the best get through. So I find this difficult because she's mummified her hand, but that to me that implies that the loo roll's kind of, it's wrapped around your hand. So how are you detaching it enough to then wrap it, shrouding the poo?
Well, I guess, like, you know how you pick up a dog poo, you wrap the bag around your hand and you grab the dog poo and then you kind of
slip
it
off.
And maybe it's the same kind of...
She's her own dog.
She is her own dog.
I once dated someone who was her own dog. That's what Jack could say from now on.
She picks up after herself. She's very tidy. She picks up after
herself. Very tidy. She picks up after herself. Just don't interrogate me on what I mean by that. So... So she's poo has fallen onto her hand.
Where from is not important, okay?
Let's just say it's from her hand, okay? Poo's fallen on her hand. She would proceed to wrap it up and lower it into the water. Like what? Moses.
What?
Moses in his basket.
Among the reeds.
Among the reeds. Very Egyptian.
Yeah, the whole thing is very Egyptian.
Can I just say, Jack? Your story about a girl you used to date who shits into her own hands. Very Egyptian.
Very Old Testament how this lady does a poop.
Yeah.
Very Old Testament.
She would proceed to wrap it up and lower it into the water.
The Enya playing. Yeah.
This process
who
would be...
Who can say where the poo goes, where the day flows?
Sail away. That, like that kind of thing. Sail away.
And who can... As he lowers it into the water.
Very terrifying to watch this happen to, like, Gregorian chant. Jesu Domine. Just, oh. This process would be repeated for the entire shit.
So every piece, every single piece.
Every piece gets its own little...
This is insane. This is insane. We've heard some crazy things on here. But this is the most insane, I think.
This is sinister. This is more frightening than some of the more lurid stuff we've got because of the amount of control. It's quite Patrick Bateman-y. It's how Patrick Bateman would go for a dump.
It's the regularity with which you must have to do this as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the level of control that she's demanding of her own bum. It's very Patrick Bateman.
I wonder how Jack found out. Do you think he caught her once? Or did she sit him down and say, before this gets much more serious, there's something I have to tell you.
Did they live together and he was just like, we are going through a lot of loo roll.
Yeah.
Like, well, a lot.
Why they're all like, I go in the bathroom and there's just hand-shaped sort of casts of loo roll. Lying around.
It's like these paper mache gloves everywhere. Do you have a project?
Do you teach kindergarten or something? What's going on?
Is this arts and crafts? She would repeat this process for the entire shit. My God. He says, I don't know whether it was the fear of toilet water splashing onto her ass or whether she was channeling her inner raccoon from the previous Bud Pod story. I think Jack sent us something about a raccoon.
Right.
There was that raccoon that was like hungrily gathering up someone's shit, wasn't there?
Right.
In some story.
Right, okay.
Anyway. But it was fucking weird. There we go.
Yeah.
Jack's right.
I think that's fair.
I always wondered what would happen if it were to be diarrhea, but I never found out.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
What would happen then?
Just chaos.
She'd have to cup her hand more, or...
Someone trying to wrap water.
I think also Bruce Lee said, isn't it? You can't wrap, be like water, you can't wrap water. I mean,
be like diarrhea. You can't wrap diarrhea in loo roll. That was what he said that towards the end of his life. When his mind was going from all those concussions. Yes, Bruce. I never found out what happened if it was diarrhea. She did sometimes shower after shitting, though.
I would hope so. I hope she did, yeah. I'd do it every time if I were her. I need a shower just hearing that story.
But I would say that she needs to shower the least because it's like she's wiping each time with like the most control. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but most people don't touch their shit at all until they wipe.
Yeah, but they're also shrouded and so on. Like, I don't think she needs to shower more than anyone else. I think she needs to wash her hands
more.
Yeah,
she needs to wash her hands. Yeah.
But I think the showering thing is just to be like, to guarantee that I have a clean anus.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's more control freakery about her own butt. She's literally anal.
Wow, of course.
She's literally anally retentive. This is like pure Freud.
Yes.
Lucian Freud would be sat there stroking his beard going, yeah, yes, is her mum fit? You know?
Of course, she literally is anal.
It's amazing the link between people being uptight and literally this sort of madness.
But to do with the pooping habit in particular. Yeah. It's about control.
It's about control. That's what's scary about it.
Yeah.
It's not chilled out at all.
Gosh.
Yeah. Well, and then Jack says, perhaps, praise redacted, but Bud Pod just helped me power through submitting my pissitation. Very nice.
Oh, great.
Which has included laughing so loud and crying in a library due to the super poison story.
Oh, that's the story of you mixing all like soaps and potions.
It's the guy who made super poison and poured it in his dad's lawnmower and it blew.
Oh.
He tweeted me recently and he said that remember I said I'd love the idea of people listening to Bud Pod in a workshop?
Right.
Hard working guys.
Yeah.
He's what's his name? Super poison guy.
Mm.
Is in a workshop. He listens to it.
He's making
stuff. Because he's a... I'll look it up. Apologies.
It's funny to imagine a guy in like a welder's mask listening to... with the sparks flying in front of his face.
Yeah. Doing like a 1980s, like building a tank A-team style montage. But it's us talking about mummifying dumps. So he says, and he shared super poison with all his friends. Thank you very much. That's very kind. Perhaps one day I'll tell you about the time I got food poisoning from Subway and had vomit and diarrhea in the middle of a perfectly legal forest rave in North London.
A hearty Italian diarrhea.
Hearty Italian diarrhea.
Yeah.
No mayo. But until then, Koji, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack is the super... No, Jack can't be the super poison guy. He's laughing at it.
Right, no. That'd be quite arrogant.
I cried
Jack
laughing listening to my own anecdote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was when the podcast really picked up, actually, is when...
When I contributed.
Yeah.
When I was involved. Let's see if I can find it. I'll scroll through. But that's all the time we have, guys. Thank you, Jack, for that.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you for listening. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for powering through our little sabbatical there. But both Pierre and I are back. We've not even heard about your Pierre went on his rare hollybobs.
Oh, very rare hollybobs. First long out of Europe hollybobs as an adult. That's how rarely I go
on
hollybobs.
Is that true?
Yeah, if you don't count like Adelaide.
Oh my lord.
For the festival.
Gosh, wow.
Yeah, I just don't go on holiday.
Yeah. Well done on finally doing it.
Thanks, man. I'm too relaxed. I put my passport through the washing machine.
What?
Yeah. I was so relaxed when I got back from holiday, I immediately put my passport in the washing machine.
That would make me scream. What happened to it?
It actually, you know what? It came up pretty good.
I mean, they are designed to be pretty durable.
It was inside very waterproofy swimming shorts as well.
Oh, good.
So it actually came out. I'm getting a replacement still.
Okay.
Because one bit peeled a bit.
Oh, what a pain.
I think I could blag it going somewhere, but I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
I put it through the washing machine, and just as I took out those shorts and felt in the pocket, I felt the familiar square shape.
Yeah.
I just said to my girlfriend, I put my passport in the washing machine. Completely flat, toneless. And just like with a completely blank face.
Like a translation of the Pope.
Touch it, yeah.
The Pope is doing this thing, like he's acting out.
Yeah. I put my passport in the washing machine.
It's such a funny thing for the
it
Pope
got
to
all
to
wet
say.
Now.
And yeah, he's gesticulating.
On the balcony.
And he's doing like the actions of opening a washing machine and finding his pants in there.
And he's holding it out, still wet.
I can't leave the Vatican now. I'm trapped in there. I can't leave the Vatican until...
I technically can't even go down the road.
I have to apply for a new passport. And you'd think, because I'm, you know, the Pope, that they could speed up the process, but...
What's the problem? What do people think I'm going to do? I have to go anywhere in a bubble-shaped car regardless. Yeah.
My fucking passport. The washing machine. Jesus Christ. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ugh, my passport. I mean,
My passport. Oh.
You know, God damn it. Sorry. It's just... This is just like me.
The guy listening, translating, is listening so hard. He looks just like a guy at the Nuremberg trials or at the UN.
This is the just. This is literally the last thing I need. I'm the Pope, for fuck's sake. Sorry, again, I'm just upset.
Please forgive me. You should forgive people, by the way, just to get back on track. Yeah, I put it through the washing machine, and I was eerily calm about it.
Mm.
Because you know when you fuck up so big.
Yeah. When something really bad's happened, your body doesn't give you an opportunity to freak out. It's like, okay, we need to just compute and realize what's happened.
You need to put a plan together
for
this disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're both back.
We're both back, baby.
My passport is dry. Mm-hmm. Pierre's is wet, and that's why we work as a team. We cover all bases.
Let's just say he's got a pretty wet passport. That's what people say about me.
Does Pierre travel a lot? Let's just say he has a pretty wet passport.
Let's just say his passport's not exactly dry. Well, luckily, I don't need a passport fill to go to the Patreon VIP area.
Yes, yes. No visa required
on
entry. But you do have to leave in 90 days. You got 90 days in the bonus pod before you need to. You just leave the country, come straight back, you get another 90 days.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But you do have to do it.
You do need to do it. Yeah.
Okay. All well,
right. See you there.
See you there and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.